And the first creative law of manifestation, the first and the most important thing that you need to know is that you have to create with focus. Creativity, the engine and the catalyst, the burning coals that get your creative energy lifted off and moving into the world appropriately, correctly, and with great energy, is that you have to know what it is you want to create. What is your heart's desire? What do you focus on? What is your energy oriented toward achieving? Some people think, I know what I want, but their energy isn't fiery and passionate. And more importantly, it isn't focused. I learned about the importance of creative focus when I was young. I had the benefit of incredible teachers, wonderful teachers who taught me about metaphysics, who taught me about manifestation, who taught me about how to use my mind as a tool to create what I wanted. And by the time I was 16 years old, I was sure that I had all the answers. I was sure that I knew exactly how it worked. In fact, when I was 16 years old, I had been doing readings for people for several years. I had been already consulted for my intuitive input. I've already been addressed by people asking me what it is you want. And so I thought, it's just, you know, clients would come and I'd say, well, what's the problem? You're not focused. You don't really have a problem. You just don't know what you want. I had very little patience with it. You're not getting what you want. Well, it's your fault. You're not working hard. I was pretty much your typical 16-year-old know-it-all. And then it occurred to me that I wanted something. I had my own heart's desire. And in spite of all I knew, all I had intellectually absorbed, it wasn't happening to me. When I was 16, I was as tall as I am today. I was 5'8". It was in the 70s. And in the 70s, it was the era of platform shoes. So I would be in all my style and my platform shoes, and it was 6'3". Problem is, in high school, when you're 6'3", all the guys in my class were 5'2". And one year, when I was a junior in high school, everybody in my class was preparing to go to the prom. All the girls were getting asked out. All the guys were getting their tuxes, and no one was asking me out. And I was really bummed out. I was very depressed. I'd wait and wait, and the time was clicking by. They didn't come. I'd think about it. Nobody asked me. And finally, I got so upset, I went to my mother, and I said, this isn't fair. The entire school is going to the party, and I'm not invited. I'm being left behind. It's so embarrassing. My mother used to sew. She's sewing away, and she's listening to me. And she said, Sonia, I'm not surprised you're not going. It's your fault. I said, it's my fault. It's not my fault I'm 6'3". It's not my fault. My mother is 5'2". I said, as a matter of fact, what did happen around here? She's sewing away, and she said, well, honey, all I've heard for the last 6 weeks is how no one will invite you, how you're going to be left behind, how you're so tall that nobody would be interested. I've heard you talk to your friends on the phone about it. I've heard you complain to your siblings about it. You've certainly whined to me about it enough. She said, why are you surprised? You did a very good job. You created exactly what you wanted. I said, I did not. I want to go. And she said, well, I haven't heard that. You have never focused on the possibility that maybe something beyond appearances, beyond what seems to be, could come in for you. She said, why don't you create a prince who is tall enough for you and can take you to the ball? And I said, well, great, it's 2 weeks. I don't have time. She put her sewing down. She looked me right in the eye and she said, Sonia, a miracle only takes a moment. when you fully intend to create a miracle. And then she left the room. I had to think about it. You know, it was true. If I were to be really honest with myself, I never did really focus on someone showing up to ask me out. Never occurred to me that a possibility might exist that I would be asked. I took a quick look at what I thought were my options and saw them eliminated one at a time, and I worked from the premise that what I knew was all there was. So I took her up on it. I thought, okay, she's right. I haven't really focused. Why not? I'm going to do it. I'm going to create my prince. Well, I thought, if you're going to create your prince, if I'm going to create my prince, then I needed a little incentive. I needed some kind of help to focus. So what is my prince going to look like? Didn't take long. David Bowie, no problem. So I went to my album collection and I cut out a picture of David Bowie, who was my favorite rock star, put his face up on the wall, and put a paper doll beneath him. And I thought, okay, what is my prince, my guy, going to be like? And every day I started to practice focusing. If someone's going to come into my life and take me to the ball, he'd have to have princely qualities. So I thought, what would they be? Well, first, visual. I thought he'd have to have long hair and, of course, aviator glasses, because that was all the style. And they wanted him to have sideburns, big ones, mutton chops. And I put him up every day with my little crayons. And I thought, okay, what else? Well, he'd certainly have to have style. So I wanted him to have cool clothes, bell-bottom jeans. And, of course, the coup de grace, he had to have a scarf around his neck. And I thought, more than that, my prince would have to be able to drive. He'd have to have a chariot. So then I thought, well, can't take the bus to the ball. I thought, he needs to have some kind of a Rolls Royce. I mean, if we're going to do this, let's do this. Well, my girlfriends got a hold of this. They heard about what I was doing. They saw him stapled up to my bedroom wall every day, another little element added to it. I really started enjoying myself. We developed some kind of rapport. I called him my guy. And my girlfriends would come over and say, well, how's your guy? I said, oh, he's fine, just dressing him up a little bit. Did he show up yet? And I said, no, he didn't show up. But he'll show up. Because I'm focusing on it. And every day I'd add another element. After school, they'd start talking in the schoolyard. One girl came up to me, she said, I heard you're creating a guy. Can I come over and watch? Sure, come on over. So pretty soon they'd come around after school and we'd continue this creative process. Every morning I'd wake up full of expectation. I was sure today I would meet my guy. I'd go to my after-school job, the ice cream parlor, and every customer who came and ordered ice cream, I would look right into their eyes, serving them their dish of ice cream, and I was thinking, are you my guy? I'd get on the bus, walking proudly down the aisle and taking my seat, looking very intensely in everyone's eyes. Maybe you're my guy. And the days click by. Well, pretty soon, it's 4 days before the prom, and my guy didn't show up. I was horrified, not only because I was so certain, but now I had the entire school expecting my guy to show up. Oh, my God, the epitome of high school embarrassment. I had to work fast. I had to think quick, so I showed up on Friday and I made the announcement to everyone, I'm not going to the prom. I've decided it's not even important to me. I said, I have more metaphysical things to do. One girlfriend of mine said, yeah, right, he didn't show up, did he? Fool. Oh, I was so disgusted. So so embarrassed. I went home and I ripped David Bowie right off the wall. I shredded him up, threw him in the trash, and I thought, this is just a bust. The only thing that could help at that point is I needed a consolation prize. I felt so sad. I thought, what am I going to do? Well, they're all going to the party and I'm not invited. It's only one consolation. I'd have to take my paycheck and buy a new pair of shoes. The only thing that would do. So after work, I collected my paycheck from the ice cream parlor, $33.17. And I walked about a block and a half away in downtown Denver to a brand new shoe store called the Bostonian. And when I walked in the store, right in the middle of the room, on a platform, floating in air, was the most magnificent pair of white rhinestone platform shoes with silver shoelace laces and 6-inch acrylic blue soles. They were outstanding. My heart sunk. My God, this is the perfect shoe to go to the ball. I went and picked up the shoe. I turned over the price thinking, this is just too painful. When a voice came up behind me and said, if you buy the shoe, I'll take you out. I looked around. I looked up, and standing behind me was the shoe salesman. 6'3", long blonde hair, big mutton chops, aviator glasses, and a scarf around his neck. He had just started working at the shoe store. I looked at him in the eyes. I couldn't believe I was looking at my guy. I said, pardon me? And he said, if you buy that shoe, I'll take you out. We just got that shoe in today. I said, oh, I don't believe you. And he said, no, really, that is the coolest shoe I've ever seen. If you buy it, I'll take you out, because the minute I saw that shoe, I told myself, I'm taking that shoe out. So I bought the shoe, and I said, so we got a deal? Name the time, name the place. I said, well, I need to go to the ball. He said, it's the perfect place for that shoe. I'll be there. So I bought the shoes, took them home, got all dressed up in my white rhinestone shoes, waiting at the door. And sure enough, at 7:15, he pulled up. He didn't have a Rolls Royce. He was driving his father's Cadillac. But he jumped out of the car. He had on a red satin jacket, red satin bell-bottom pants, and the best part was, he had on red rhinestone platform shoes with 6-inch soles to match my own. And that's when I realized, as we danced off to the ball, the real power of focus. This is principle number one. What do you want? Can you focus on it? Does it have fire? I really wanted to go to the dance. So much that every day I brought a whole new effort. Every morning I woke up thinking, I'm going to create a prince. Every moment of my day I walked open and expecting that I would create what I desired. Every face I looked into was potentially the one that I was looking for, my opportunity. Every night I went to sleep confident and added another element, another piece that would bring that focus into my consciousness just a little bit sharper, just a little bit more.